We see in the parable of the gospel today, and of course today we are using the gospel of St. Luke, and it is his feast day. And we owe a lot to St. Luke. We know a greater knowledge of the Blessed Virgin, and we know a knowledge of the birth and early days of Jesus, and also of the Holy Eucharist. He was one of the 72 disciples, was not an apostle. He is an evangelist, not an apostle. And it was he who had the visitation from the newly risen Christ on the first Easter with St. Joseph of Cleophas, who was a relative of Jesus. And they were going out of the city to his villa in Emmaus. And there, on the way, Jesus met them and hid his semblance from them. And then, when they were very upset, he asked them, and he then unfolded the scriptures to them, which, of course, St. Luke and St. Paul also unfold the scriptures for us. So we owe a lot of things to him. He was also the beloved physician, as St. Paul calls him, and he's also the artist, because physicians had to know about the anatomy of the human body. They had to draw it, as they still do. And so he was an artist. And we have many, many pictures that have been handed down to be painted by St. Luke. And of course, the best picture are the two books of the New Testament that he wrote, which are among the most important books. The first, History of the Church, the Acts of the Apostles. And if you read it page by page by page, you will see an early history of the church after the resurrection of Christ. And then, of course, his gospel, which is full of so many, many wonderful things, including those which we have read today. Now, here we have a parable. Remember, a parable is a story. It's not contrary to reality, but it is not necessarily history. It's just a story to teach us a lesson used by Christ in his way of teaching. So we have this person, this old woman that needs something. She needs justice, and nobody will give it to her. And that's very, very common, isn't it? Even in our world today. So she goes to the judge. In that case, it was the only judge. And the judge thought highly of himself. He neither feared God nor respected men. So, I mean, that is a really bad person. He may be an all right judge, as far as some are concerned, but he is not a good person, which, of course, also makes him a poor judge. But she comes and comes and comes and comes, because Christ is teaching us how we are supposed to pray. We are supposed to continuously pray, in a word also, to use secular terminology, to nag God till he answers. Listen to me, answer me, give me my petition. And most of the times, as we well know, God seems to be deaf, but he's not. The entry for today's Mass speaks about, open your ears, O Lord. It's all one subject, one reality. Open your ears to our pleas, O Lord. So the bad judge, the unjust judge, got tired of the old woman's nagging. And he thought, well, I need to give her a decision. Here St. Luke says a just decision. But he could have given her an unjust decision, and that would have been the end of that for her too. We see that too in our world. Because if I don't give her a decision, she's going to come and beat me. He probably thought, beat me to death. And so, not because he wanted to, not because he was just, but he was afraid of what she was going to do to him. So, he gives her the decision. And of course, he gives her what she wants, because otherwise, she's going to come back. So, he gives her the just decision. And of course, this is what our Lord wants us to do when we are asking God something. We're asking Him or the Holy Spirit or the Father something. Now, in their case, they're just. They're not evil. And, of course, God respects God. So that is not the case here. But the apostles teach us how to pray. And our Lord was teaching them that it was necessary to pray always without ceasing, without becoming weary. And so we too are supposed to pray like that. Now, sometimes, a lot of times, a few times, God will not answer what we want because He knows what's best for us. And perhaps what we want is going to do terrible damage to us. It's going to send us to the eternal fires of hell. We don't know that, but He does. So sometimes He just doesn't answer, and we have to take it as it is. Now, the other thing that's important, that I feel, in this, in the readings of today's Mass, is the second reading, St. Paul's letter to his beloved spiritual son, St. Timothy, whom he consecrated bishop. He reminds him that he needs to be faithful. And then he tells all of us something which is very important. Now, the Church teaches, and it is a defined dogma of faith, it cannot be changed. I've been seeing some artificial intelligence videos on the internet saying that the Pope changed the Bible. Not even a council can change the Bible. No Pope can change the Bible. Not this one, nor anyone else. He cannot add or take anything away from it. So the poor fools that are looking at this and believing it are just that, poor fools. And they're going to be scandalized, or maybe they're going to be happy. Maybe what they want will take place. But that would be very sad, because that is not the will of God. It's not what the Church teaches. And so the Church teaches that the revelation of God, the official revelation of God, has two sources. The one is the Scripture. And St. Paul tells us here, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, etc., etc. The Church also says, and it's in the Scripture too, that the revelation, the official revelation of God, comes to us through sacred tradition. And of course, some people say, how can that be? Well, if it were not for sacred tradition, we would not have St. Luke's Gospel. We would not have St. Paul's Epistle to St. Timothy, or any other thing in the Holy Scripture. Because the Church decides, from sacred tradition, that which is handed down from the apostles, generation after generation. By the year 300, the Bible was pretty much the way it is now. They were still putting together all the books because they were written separately. And they didn't have YouTubes then. They had to bring them by hand. And the rolls, the scrolls of parchment written by hand and had to be copied by hand. And it was the Church that gave them authority from the different of the apostles. And then, of course, the Old Testament was already had at the time of Christ. Now, it's very interesting. There were some things in some books which the Protestants have done away with no authority whatsoever, that were also done away with in the fourth or fifth century after Christ, of the Old Testament. Some of the sapiential books, which are the most beautiful in the Old Testament, the books of wisdom. And they didn't like what they said, so they just got rid of them. Now that is contrary to the teaching of God, contrary to tradition. No human being, no pope, no bishop, no council, no theologian can get rid of any book All Scripture, St. Paul says. And that's why he says it. This was going on in his lifetime, is inspired by God. Of course, we know among the first heretics in the church were the Gnostics. And the Gnostics did not believe at least half of what the church believes. So they started to get rid of this book and that book and the other, and saying, this is not from God. Who do they think they are? And of course, the church immediately, without pause, condemned them and their teachings, as it is with the case of all the other heretics that we see in the first four or five centuries in the church's history. But what we have, the sacred canon of the Scripture, is from God and given to us by God through the church, and it cannot be changed. So, he tells us, all Scripture is inspired by God. Now, if somebody comes up with something new, that is not Scripture, that is not inspired by God. And that's why we have to be very careful. There are many people who are continuously looking for new revelations, for new apparitions, for this one and that one, who can float, who can do whatever they can or not, without being in touch with the church. In order for anything to be real and to be accepted as real, the church has to approve it, just as she approved in 1929 Our Lady of Fatima. And of course, with all the other visions of the Blessed Mother, the church has to approve, or of St. Joseph or anybody else. If it is not approved by the church, then it is not official, it is not real. And it may say something nice, but it is not something that is the teaching of the church. So we need to always see what it is that the church teaches. But the two sources of revelation, that which we must believe, are sacred scripture and sacred tradition. They go hand in hand, cannot be separated, cannot be done away with. For that would be a sacrilege against the Word of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.